You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This week marks 4 years since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. On Tuesday, despite the rain, dozens of people traveled to the state capital to commemorate the solemn anniversary, calling for an end to the fighting and a peace that some will never see. The emotional vigil included many speakers, Ukrainian anthems, and the portraits of soldiers and civilians killed in the war. The Capitol Dome also lit up with the colors of the Ukrainian flag, blue and yellow. For those in attendance, it was a time to remember, mourn, and take action. Here are some snapshots of some of their stories. Oleh Karnetsky came to the United States in 1999 from Western Ukraine and now lives in the East Bay. He said the Russia invasion came as a shock and led him to get deeply involved in supporting his birth country.
The last year was very intensive volunteer work. For example, I took care about a Ukrainian boy, 16 years old, who lost his leg because Russian tank attacked him and crash his leg. That's just one example. I work as interpreter in school, and I met a girl, 7 years old, and she spent 4 months in the basement without electricity, without water. Parents melted snow to make water. So it's horrible stories, but we need to help those peoples. And the best way, from my perspective, if U.S. will help, because U.S. has a lot of resources, and it's not just war with Ukraine, it's war between light and dark forces. It's the best interest of U.S. because it's fight for freedom.
We also want to introduce you to Oleg Korovyenko, a Ukrainian-American state worker. He became a U.S. citizen in 2009.
Yeah, I called my mom, and also I got actually a call from my Russian friend, and he was apologizing that this was happening. For my family here, actually I feel everybody who came to this meeting is my family. And for my close family, my mother passed away, and before she passed away, she wanted me to give all money to Ukrainian military to keep fighting. The difference between us and the other world with Russia is that we are looking ahead for a future, and other people together with Putin, they look backwards. For Ukraine, I hope that Ukraine stands and Ukraine is alive, Ukraine is praying, and Ukraine is fighting.
We now want to introduce you to Vladimir Fedorov, who was attending school in Russia when the war began. He was targeted for his support of Ukraine, which led him to leave.
I'm not Ukrainian. I'm from Russia. The war started in the 22 year. That was my last year in college. All peoples in my circle, in my view, supports war, supports Russia. That was very crazy because it's not normal, it's very crazy. I have extremism crime in Russia because I am support Ukrainian. It's okay in the United States, it's normal, I am support Ukraine, but in Russia it's criminal. You can see how many peoples, how many children was killed by Russia, but then you still hear talking with people from Russia and from Ukrainian mostly. You just know the people's very kind, very friendly. You just want to cry, and the same moment you just smile a little bit because you're together with the same peoples from your country. Maybe it's not from your country, from Ukraine, but you are together, and it's very cool.
And finally, 15-year-old Irina Bugera was born and raised in Ukraine's capital, Kyiv. Her family fled the country during the first week of the fighting. She began volunteering with the local group, the Sunflower Society, after coming to Sacramento as a way to help Ukraine fight back, and hopes to return one day.
I always felt patriotic towards my country, my heritage. I came to the rallies here in the capital. I found community. I found people who, like me, escaped the war, who came here earlier. I feel Ukrainian when I'm helping Ukraine even go one step closer to the win. When I'm collecting those donations, when I'm donating myself, this means one less drop of blood spilled, one less body of Ukrainian soldier or civilian going into the tomb for a war that we did not start. And it's important for me to keep doing it. I cannot imagine my life without my country. And while I realize how much opportunities America gives to myself, I will always remain Ukrainian. And my priority is to help Ukraine rebuild itself. And I want to be there when this happens.
We're going to continue to get a sense of how Ukrainians at home and abroad are weathering the ongoing war. Joining us now are Martin Kuz, an independent journalist based in Sacramento, who has traveled to Ukraine multiple times since the start of the war and authors the Reporting on Ukraine Substack. And Olga Noshin is a co-organizer with the Sunflower Society, a Ukrainian-American volunteer organization that helped organize this week's vigil at the state capitol. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Thank you, Vicky.
Well, Martin, I wanted to start with you. You joined Insight on multiple occasions since the war began. You even traveled there, I believe, just before the invasion. You live here in Sacramento. Remind us why you were so invested in this.
It's because my father was born and raised in Western Ukraine, the city of Lviv, and I still have relatives there. So the war is deeply personal to me. And when I went there in 2022, anticipating that Putin might invade, certainly I went as a journalist, but I also went as someone who is a Ukrainian-American, half Ukrainian-American. And there's a sense of pride in Ukraine and a kind of kinship I feel with Ukrainians. So it's very much an investment of heart as well as the work that I do as a journalist.
You went back to Ukraine last summer. How have things changed on the ground in the times that you have visited Ukraine?
And I think the trajectory has flattened a little bit in the sense that on the front lines, the war is quite static. Very incremental gains by Russia. Ukraine has been able to take back a little bit of land. I think that the significant shift that I saw was in a public attitude, in the sense that prior to Donald Trump returning to the White House, I think there was perhaps a hope that there might be a change in U.S. policy. Maybe Trump would decide to give a whole lot more weapons to Ukraine. And that may or may not have been kind of a false hope, but it was nonetheless there. I think now there's the reality that Ukrainians realize they're alone. The struggle is theirs. And Europe has failed them. America has, in many ways, abandoned them. And they are exhausted. That doesn't mean that they're about to surrender or that they feel any less devoted to the cause of their sovereignty and their independence. It's the realization after 4 years of war that this could go on much longer and that no one is coming to save them.
Is that why you wrote in your latest piece that there's this difference between adapting to the war and accepting it?
Exactly. I mean, I don't think any country would accept the death of 140,000 troops, more than 15,000 civilians, the abduction of more than 35,000 children. All of those, in my mind, qualify as genocide. And Ukraine, knowing how precious its freedom is, and knowing that life under Russia will be even worse than life under missiles and war, are defiant, nonetheless, despite the steep, steep cost. So they are adapting to the worst circumstances of the human condition. But I don't think they'll ever accept the idea that Russia, that they belong to Russia.
Olga, I want to bring you in. Thank you for taking the time with us this afternoon. I would love to learn about your journey to the United States.
Oh, I came to the United States in 2015. I relocated from Ukraine and I lived my perfect comfort life here with kids. And when the war started, it was like something broke inside of me. And I just realized that this my beautiful, perfect life here worth nothing comparing to those lives lost already in Ukraine. So I started to look for the ways that I can be helpful, that I can do something. I didn't want to sit. That's not in Ukrainian character. It's not in Ukrainian spirit to sit and wait for a miracle. You have to do something. You have to take yourself together and do something. Do everything you can and work until you get to your goal. Work and work and work and work.
And you created, or you're part of, the Sunflower Society.
Yes, I joined them on May 2022. I found them at the Capitol and started joining those rallies. And after 3 or 4 months, I decided that I really want to be a part of this group.
What has this group meant for you and for other Ukrainians here in Sacramento who are watching from thousands of miles away a war that is ongoing with no end in sight, having this community during this time?
Yes, this group, it consists of different people, very different people. We have very different people from different ethnicities, from different cultural backgrounds, different religious beliefs, political views. But all those people share same values and have same goal. So they value the freedom, the right Ukraine to be free from this empire, and they want to help Ukraine to get really, really independent. So people are gathering together, and we are planning some events. We want to draw attention of the local people, of the residents of Sacramento area, to this problem, and we work on that.
Looking back at the last 4 years of war in Ukraine, how has it changed the Ukrainian community here in Sacramento?
Well, Ukrainian community increased because a lot of people fled the war and came here, including U4U program. So we got a lot of people who witnessed the war. They smelled it, they saw it, they even touched it. And this encourages us to work harder because we have those people next to us. And we want to show them, and we want to show people in Ukraine, our families and our friends, that we are here not sitting doing nothing. We're doing everything we can. We take every opportunity, every single opportunity to let people know what is happening, to let people know that Ukraine needs help, that we need to support Ukraine, advocate for Ukraine, interact with Ukrainians, and donate. I like the word aid because I can turn it into acronym. A is for advocating, so that's everyone can do. Advocate for Ukraine, call your representative, ask to support, ask to co-sign, but at least to vote in favor for HR 6856. That bill will impose sanction on Russia in case they don't want to negotiate a peace agreement, or if they will break it in the future, or if they invade Ukraine again. That's very important. I stands for interaction. Interact with Ukrainian. Visit and participate in their events. Help them to host events for your community, neighborhood, church, and donation. D stands for donation. Donate for tourniquets, for first aid kits, for evacuation vehicles, for combat medics. Use any available donation platform, United 24, Come Back Alive. Almost every unit has a fundraising team. You can find it and you can donate. Every dollar counts, every word counts, so we can really do so much here. And when person says, I don't know what to do, that's very simple. Call your representative, attend to any rally or any event, and donate at least $1. That already a huge help.
Have you been able to keep in touch with friends or family back in Ukraine? How are they doing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have friends in Ukraine. I have friends on the front line. My classmates are fighting. Some of my classmates already lost limbs and got prosthetics. It's very hard. Recently, a couple of my friends volunteered and joined armed forces. Pastor of my church volunteered from the first day. He became a combat medic because he had a medical background. And he was killed in October 2022 while he was evacuating people from the front line. All those that he had an evacuation vehicle with signs, Russian tank hit them directly and they didn't survive. To understand word devastating, you have to lose somebody. Then you feel and you understand the meaning of this word. I lost one. I lost only one, but it's tearing me inside. And I have friends that lost many. I can't even imagine what they are feeling inside. I don't want to lose any of my friends that are fighting right now. But unfortunately, this is a war. People are dying. And the only thing what we can do here is help as much as we can. We cannot fight here, but we can call, we can participate, we can convince our neighbors, our friends, we can spread and share information which is true, and we can donate, we can support. That's all we can do. And it's not hard, really.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're checking in with the Ukrainian community as this week marks 4 years since Russia's invasion. I'm joined by Martin Kuz, an independent journalist based in Sacramento who has traveled to Ukraine since the war began, and Olga Noshin, a co-organizer for the Sunflower Society. That's a volunteer group that started once the war began. So this week, the Sunflower Society helped organize a vigil at the state capitol. Our producer, Sarit Lashinsky, was out there. The turnout was so powerful. What did it mean to be out there in the rain and see all of this community support? Olga, I'll start with you.
So Sunflower Society had been running those rallies since the full-scale invasion, and that Tuesday, it was 48th rally in a row. We haven't missed a single month. Of course, February 24th, the day of the start of the war, and August 24th, which is Ukrainian Independence Day, these are two the biggest rallies that we have, the more people are attending. Regular, ordinary rallies, like every month, we have about 100 plus people, depends on day of the week, of weather. And yes, regarding the rain, that wasn't first rain that we...
I'm sure.
We even have had the hail once in California, yes. So weather, it's not something that would stop us, definitely. But this time, this Tuesday, it was really, really important because it marked 4 years since a full-scale invasion. And as I told already, that I don't want to focus much on the pain of yesterday, meaning all those 4 years. I want to focus on the hope of tomorrow, because although Ukraine has been fighting for 4 years, it's still standing. This is remarkable resilience. This is what Ukrainians are, what the nation is. This our spirit. Our anthem says we will lay our bodies and souls to get our freedom. And that's what had been done for 4 years already. And as Martin said, Ukrainians cannot even imagine to surrender. It's something absolutely unreal. This is not on the table even. We cannot even discuss it. It's impossible. This is a genocidal war. And we are fighting for our right to live. We have seen cities that were occupied by Russia and then Ukraine took them back. Izum, for instance, in Kharkiv region, we found massive graves full of civilians with hands tied on the back and bullet shots to the head. One grave was filled with 447 bodies. It's 21st century, and it's a genocide. So if they took control of a Ukrainian city, they will kill everybody. They kill everybody who will not comply with them, who will resist them. So we have no chance, literally no chance, to get this Russian world. We have this word in Ukrainian, Ruskiy Mir, this Russian rule over Ukrainian land. That's why Ukraine is fighting so badly. This is about our existence, about our right to be alive.
We only have about 30 seconds left. Martin, I want to end with you. Are you planning to go back anytime soon?
I think so. It'll probably come a little bit later this spring or early summer. And just to add to what Olga so eloquently said, as the peace negotiations continue, I think for a lot of Americans, Westerners as a whole, they see that as rather abstract. For Ukrainians, the reality is territories are people. These are not lines on a map. These are the lives of human beings. And so when there's talk of this kind of horse trading of land, I think people need to remember these are human beings. These are lives that are at stake. And that's what I hope people remember as they think about this war continuing for who knows how long.
Mm. Martin and Olga, thank you so much for taking the time with us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for inviting.
Thanks for keeping a spotlight on Ukraine, Vicky.
Of course.
And if I can say, I appreciate a lot that you invited us, and thank you so much. And I would say, Slava Ukraini, Heroem Slava.
Thank you so much. We're happy to. Martin Kuz is an independent journalist based in Sacramento who has traveled to Ukraine multiple times since the war began and created the reporting on Ukraine Substack. We have a link on our Insight page. And Olga Noshin is a co-organizer of the Sunflower Society volunteer group, which formed following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment. Слава Україні!